Saram, dear listeners, and welcome once again to Vahini Satsang. We are in Chapter 7 of Sandhya Nivarini. Today is November 14th, 2019. Less than 10 days from now, we are going to have the 94th birthday celebration of Bhagwan. And just like it happens during every birthday celebration, during this birthday too, there is a spiritual conference. And interestingly, the focus of the spiritual conference, which is meant for all Samiti conveners of Sri Sathya Sai Seva Organizations, India, is these immortal writings of Bhagwan, the Vahinis. We are really grateful to Swami for having given us this opportunity to dwell on His written word. These are messages which have come directly from Him. There was no translator, there was no intermediary, there was no one interpreting what Bhagwan wanted to communicate. Straight from His heart, it flowed through the pen to be documented in the hearts and minds of people till eternity. For posterity, this is the treasure of the Almighty. We had 108 discussion sessions on Prema Vahini, and by His grace, we now continue Sandeha Nivarini. The second book that Bhagwan wrote, as many of you are aware, Swami did not write them as books. These were series of articles in Sanatana Sarathi, the Ashram Monthly magazine, which Bhagwan started in Shivaratri 1958. And Bhagwan started writing Prema Vahini and Sandeha Nivarani as two parallel series in Sanatana Sarathi. So these are words that Bhagwan wrote way back in the 50s. And every time you read them, it seems so relevant, it seems so apt, it seems so very pertinent to help us traverse through the ups and downs, the crests and troughs of our earthly sojourn. So in the previous episode, we started our discussion on Chapter 7. So today, before we proceed, we will listen to this segment again, because there were so many ideas that Bhagwan had tried to instill in our minds, and in the previous session we perhaps were not able to contemplate on all of them. So today we will listen once again to segment 7.1 and pray to Him to guide our thoughts.
Pranam, Swami.
Oh, you have come, is it? You didn't come for Dasara.
I thought the number of devotees then would be too many. I may not be able to speak to you to my heart's content. Hence, I came now, a few days prior to your birthday, so that apart from witnessing your birthday celebrations, I can seek your blessings for the birth of bhakti and jnana in my heart.
Good. It's a noble idea indeed. But do you mean to say that bhakti and jnana will not be born in you on days other than my birthday? Is that your idea?
No, that is not so. The advent of your auspicious form happens on an auspicious day and time. My idea is that, at least on such a sacred day, your sacred words should purify my heart and get established there.
Very good, dear one. What is the sandeha, the doubt you have today?
I have come today to listen to any of your nectarous words and put them into practice. As the saying goes, even if you go to Kashi, you have Shanishwara by your side. But unlike that, I did not bring the demon of doubt along with me today, nor did it follow me. This is due to your unbounded grace.
Very good. Understand that when these doubts do not come of themselves, nor are entertained by you, that is to be considered as purity. When these two happen, it can be called one-pointedness. In any case, when you have no doubts, why should I remind you of it? Then tell me, what shall I speak to you about?
Swami, tell me how we should generally conduct ourselves. What is the feeling that we should entertain? Which are the subjects that we should dwell upon? What are the acts we should do to deserve the grace of the divine? How can we attain your proximity? Please tell me only some such gems of wisdom which are absolutely important.
Oh, it seems Parvati asked Ishvara once, it is difficult to retain in memory the Sahasranama, the thousand names of God. It takes a long time to learn and repeat them. So please tell me one single name which is the essence of all the thousand. Similarly, you too perhaps find it difficult to grasp all that I write and explain. And so you also are asking me to tell you about the most important, isn't it? But you see, the essence of all the names is same. However, it is not so for the subjects I am talking about. Even if the result is same, the practices and the paths are different. They cannot all be summarized in one word. Still, I am giving you now some selected jewels, which are very essential. Treasure them, experience them, put them into practice and derive joy therefrom. In fact, decorate yourself with these jewels.
That is exactly what I want. How lucky I am. Please tell me.
Then listen carefully. I shall tell you. 1. Prema, love, should be considered as the very breath of life. 2. Believe that the love which manifests in all beings equally, assuming different forms, is indeed Paramatma. And 3. Have the conviction that the one Paramatma is in everyone as the embodiment of love.
So that is segment 7.1, and by Bhagwan's grace, we have with us today Brother Srinivas Rao joining us in the satsang. So brother, if you remember what we were doing last time, we spent a lot of time on how it is a great idea, as Bhagwan is saying, very beautifully you brought out how Swami is communicating whatever he wanted to communicate, sometimes through the voice of the Bhakta and sometimes he himself as Bhagwan.
Yeah.
And after Bhagwan communicated that, yes, it is indeed a noble idea that you use the birthday as an occasion for the birth of devotion, for the birth of wisdom in your heart. And then Bhagwan says that what doubt you have today. And when the bhakta says, no, I have just come only to listen to your words and put them into practice, even though generally they say that when you go to Kashi, you have Saneeshwara by your side, saying that, you know, generally doubts accompany us. But today I don't have any doubts. And then Swami says, very good.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, the bhakta says that this is due to your unbounded grace. Very fact that I do not have doubts is your grace. And Swami says, very good. And then comes a statement I feel is very, very significant. Swami says, understand that when these doubts do not come of themselves, nor are entertained by you, they have not come on their own. And you also have not brought them. This is to be considered as purity.
Purity of mind.
Yes. When these two happen, it can be called one-pointedness.
Yeah.
I thought this is something very, very significant, because Bhagwan is giving the definition of purity here as someone who has absolute conviction, no element of hesitation, no element of questioning, no element of reservation of any kind in accepting the will of the divine, in accepting the acts of the divine, in accepting the play of the divine. No doubts whatsoever. You don't have any doubts, and doubts also don't come near you. If you are that established, Swami says, you have one-pointedness. Yeah. You have purity.
See, Swami also used to tell that I have chosen young students to impart this mission's purpose and all the teachings that he wanted to give through his actually proximity. So but that's because Swami said that these are the young minds which are empty heads. So Swami says, "Emi leni buralo, yemena cherchavachu." So because empty heads, one can put anything into it. This is the time when you are innocent, pure. There is no element of doubt in you. Probably that's the reason why Swami has given to the students all his time and effort, and a lot of his grace and all the teachings that were poured into our heads actually.
In fact, as you mentioned this, I'm reminded of what happened in the life of a student. Someone who had joined just as a fresher. And so this boy, Rajesh, when he joined Bhagwan's school, like every other student, he was exploring how to get physical proximity of Bhagwan, how to win his grace. And many students know how Bhagwan, at different phases, would distance himself from the boys for various reasons. It was always a process of getting the best out of the boys. And so when this boy joined, and so there was such a phase going on where Swami had distanced, and we know how painful it is whenever Bhagwan does that, because the amount of joy that you get when he is with you is so ethereal that you cannot stand to miss it any single day. And every day you feel Swami has distanced himself, or Swami is not talking to you, a day is lost. One day is lost of your 3 years or 5 years or 7 years if you stay, and it cannot be brought back. Anything else in the world can be brought back. But the day lost with the divine is gone forever. And so generally there will be a lot of introspection that would happen when Swami is not responding. Individually, people would definitely seek guidance from Bhagwan, do their own tapas, do their own introspection. Mm. And collectively also a lot of sadhanas happen. I remember one occasion when collectively we did bhajans, continuous bhajans, one class after another. We did like non-stop. It was an akhanda bhajan we did. And Bhagwan did respond.
Yeah.
You know, all those efforts. That's the beautiful thing of having the divine in a physical form. You do an experiment, you see the result immediately. So this boy also started thinking, why is this happening? Why is Swami distanced from us? And you know, he had all those dreams of becoming close to Swami and Swami is not talking. So every day he would pray to Swami, and you know, different boys were doing different things. Somebody was writing a letter, somebody was making a card, somebody was trying to, you know, pour out his heart, singing. Different things were happening in the hostel. And one day he just sat on his cupboard and he wrote a long letter.
Mm.
It was like a 4-page letter.
Mm-hmm.
He just wanted to pour everything out to Swami.
Mm-hmm.
Everything that was bothering him, all the questions that he had about why is this happening as a youngster, you know, just joined and you have a million questions, still trying to discover Swami in your own way. So he went to Mandir with this letter, and that day when Bhagwan came out, this boy was sitting somewhere behind. But Swami stood on the portico and Swami pointed at this boy. And when this boy came, Swami did not speak a word. Swami just asked for the letter. So Swami just picked that letter from him, returned to the interview room. And less than 20 seconds had passed, Swami came out. Again. And this time he came straight to the boy. And he stood right in front of him. It was like Swami was so close that, you know, he had to really lift his head fully to actually see. And it was very overwhelming. It was like Swami is standing so close to him. You know, it's a very overwhelming experience.
Yes, yes, yes.
When he's like, his robe is touching you and you have to lift your head completely 180 degrees to actually see him.
That is one way to indicate he's all for you actually.
Yeah.
It's really an experience.
And so, and those are very overwhelming moments. You know, your mind stops working actually. You get blanked out because you don't know what is happening. Very overpowering moments. And so he looked up at Bhagwan and Swami said, "Who is Arjuna?" And you know, he immediately was not able to think actually. Out of the blue, Swami is asking, "Who is Arjuna?" He was blanked out. Swami asked again, "Who is Arjuna?" Then he started thinking now, okay, you know, what came was probably there was one classmate, you know, whose name was Arjun Sachdev. So possibly Swami is referring to that boy, you know, that's what immediately came.
Right.
You know, in those moments, you don't know what will happen to your mind, what will capture, how your mind will function actually. So he tried to say, "Swami, there is one boy, Swami, Arjun, one boy is there." Swami said, "No, no. You wrote in the letter, no? Letter mein likha tha, Arjuna. You wrote in the letter." And then he could not say anything. And then it hit him. Because it was a long letter. So in the course of questioning Swami, in the course of asking him, "Swami, why are you doing this? What should we do? We come here with so much of expectation, Swami. We wanted to be with you. Why you are not coming to us, Swami? This is very painful." All those things, 100 questions that he had, he had written. And in the course of that letter, he had also mentioned at one point, "Swami, when Arjuna also committed mistakes." Now, if you are saying that we have committed mistakes,
okay,
Arjuna also committed mistakes. When Arjuna committed mistakes, you went to him, you gave him Bhagavad Gita, you corrected him in the middle of the battlefield. You have that much of patience and that much of love and that much of understanding and that much of consideration for Arjuna. You clarified all his doubts, you We are so happy to tell him so much. Swami, same thing you can do with us also, no?
Right.
You can also correct us. We are not telling that we have not made mistakes.
Mm-hmm.
But just like you corrected Arjuna, you are the same Swami. So you correct us and we'll be fine. Why are you distancing and why are you going away and all that? So, this hit him. That he had mentioned this, and Swami is basically referring to this.
Okay.
When Swami is telling who is Arjuna. And he didn't know what to say. He thought maybe it was a mistake, you know. Maybe he shouldn't have written like that. Who is he to question God, you know. If you have forgiven Arjuna, you forgive me also. So, he didn't know what to say. Swami said, repeat after me. And Swami said, say, Karishye.
Vachanam tava.
So he said, Karishye. Swami said, Vachanam. He said, Vachanam. Swami said, Tava. Tava. Three times Swami made him do that. Karishye, Vachanam, Tava. Karishye, Vachanam, Tava. Means, I will do as you say. Exactly as you say. And after he repeated thrice, Swami just patted him with a big thud. Swami patted him on his back and very lovingly, with a broad smile, and Swami went back to the interview room. And after that, Swami would often refer to him as Arjuna. Where is Arjuna? He would always, that became the name by which Swami identified him. Swami never called him Rajesh.
See, this is the spontaneity in these children actually. That's what actually Swami wants. That purity.
Yes.
Straight away you are approaching him with no compunctions, no fears. So asking, what wrong did I do? Even if I have done something, please forgive me and move on.
Yes.
So that is the way to approach Bhagavan actually. And he looks for that.
Yes.
A little glimpse from any side that is coming, it becomes an opening for him to give something.
Yes. Absolutely. In fact, what occurred to me is, Bhagavan used to often mention, Sansayatma Vinashyati. If you have doubts, you will perish. And this is what Swami is telling here, that if you have no doubts, and if doubts are also not near you, then you have purity. But if you have doubts, you will perish.
That shloka goes like this, Agnyascha Anatmascha Ashraddhascha. Na ayam lokaha na astihi na para na sukham samshayatmanaha. Means for the one who is ignorant and who does not believe in Atma and who has no Shraddha, for him neither this world nor the supreme higher worlds belong, and there is no happiness for him. Such a one who has doubts is destroyed. So, samshayatma vinashyati. If you have doubts, you are destroyed.
You are destroyed.
And Swami has said, now that why you did not have this doubt, why should I now remind you of it? Come on, listen to me then.
Exactly. So, I just felt that, you know, that was something very interesting, because there, Arjuna was in a position to receive the Bhagavad Gita when he went into that state of mind of absolute surrender with no doubt at all.
Yes.
Only when Arjuna said, Karishye vatanam vachanam tava, did Krishna then began to reveal to him the celestial song. So, I feel Swami here referring to having a doubtless mind as the sign of purity is something very, very profound.
Yes.
Little things happen to us and we get rattled. Our son is not well. My daughter has been sick for 4 weeks. I am praying so much. Every day I am crying at the altar of Swami. But Swami is not doing anything. He has no concern for me. I keep reading in the books that Swami cured this person, Swami cured that person. Swami has brought people back from death also. He has cancelled this person's cancer. I used to feel good reading about all these things. But when it comes to me, I pray, nothing happens. So I really don't know. Maybe he does not like me. Maybe I am not fit enough. Maybe I don't deserve anything. Maybe I am not a good father. I am not a good mother. You know, 100 things come. Why has he distanced himself from me? So many thoughts come, isn't it?
See, call it your sins or karmas or whatever. That actually wields the truth from you actually.
Yes.
That's what makes you talk like this.
Mm.
So that is what we must actually pray.
Yes.
You can overcome these karmas and past sins or whatever we feel by surrendering to Him.
Yes.
It is because of this.
Even at these moments.
Feeling, yes.
Even at these moments, never ever a thought should come.
See, at each moment the Lord is available to you.
Yes.
Totally open to you.
Yes.
You need not think about anything even for a minute or a second.
That he is not responding. That he does not like me.
That thought is bad actually.
Yes.
It is grace if you do not have those thoughts. That's what Swami was saying.
Yes, yes. Absolutely. Swami says, having no doubt is unbounded grace.
Talking about these letters, I just will quote one instance from our times during our MBA. Times, that was the first batch in 86-88. See, through as you said, through every little instance, Swami reveals certain things to person individually and to all the students at large. So the first time we all gathered together, about 30 odd students belonging to the first batch of MBA, then we all decided that we will write letters to Swami. So we all wrote. There was one student who was totally new to Swami. He did not believe in Swami or anything. Then we asked him, you write one letter. Then he said, why should I write a letter? What do you mean? What is this letter business? I don't understand.
Mm-hmm.
We could not convince him. But then we decided, okay, we will send. And next evening Swami comes out and says, one boy did not write, he said. Swami himself said. all letters I have seen. One boy did not write. Who is that? And this boy was sitting a little far behind. And Swami spotted him. Then he acknowledged his presence or whatever. Then in course of time also, this boy was a little, sorry to say, use that word, odd man out. Because he was not willing to, it's good actually, he is a very honest boy. He doesn't want to believe based on what somebody else says about Swami possibly. He probably is testing. Swami himself used to tell us that I am always on the alert. Because there are people who are doubting me constantly. Every time I come out, people are only doubting. So like this boy, we don't know what's going on in his mind. And then one day he shaved his head.
Mm-hmm.
Then Swami saw, hey, who is this boy? You are always something different, he said.
Swami said.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Even that the boy swallowed it. And when Swami took us to Nagarkoil, Nagarhole forest, then in the guest house there was a lunch arranged. Everybody was seated and Swami was going between the rows and we were all seated and about to have lunch. Then he said, where is that boy missing here? And we didn't know that he is not around. Then Swami said, go find, he'll be in the bus.
Oh.
And two boys ran there and this boy is sleeping peacefully.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't want to come in there at all.
Mm-hmm.
So this is how his whole stay with Swami was. Though he came to Kodaikanal also.
Mm-hmm.
And he is, because Swami was all grace and generosity for all of us, love and compassion, whatever. And this boy also enjoyed his stay. But at the end, how see Swami transforms the people now? Even the person who was not very responsive to him, how he molds them. Then after the course was over, he went away.
2 years.
Yeah, 2 years. And one fine day when I was working in the hospital, maybe 3 years or 5 years after the course was over, suddenly we find him on the bike in Puttaparthi Hospital Road. Mm-hmm. Myself and my friend Kannan were walking back from hospital to Mandir. We find this boy in the bike. Hey, how come you are here? He said, today is 28th of August. It is a MBA day, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I come every year to pay my respects to Swami.
Oh my God, on MBA day?
On MBA day, he just comes quietly, pays his obeisance at the mandir and goes back quietly without meeting anybody.
Wow.
He says, in my life I never thought I will do so well in life. And I attribute all my progress to Swami. I am not bothered about showing off to everybody that I am very grateful to him or anything. But here, see, this is how Swami transforms people.
Wow.
So, even, amazing. You know, doubt is also welcomed. Swami
genuine.
Himself says, yes. Swami himself says,
genuine.
If you have doubt and genuine seeking,
yes.
You must have.
Yes, in
this
fact.
Is another way of putting it.
Absolutely. You know, when you mention about genuine doubt,
yeah.
Reminded of another incident.
Yeah.
This was narrated to be by one student who had the opportunity to be a personal servitor of Bhagwan for many years.
Mm-hmm.
This happened in the mid-90s.
Mm-hmm.
So after he completed his education, Bhagwan blessed him to serve at his residence.
Mm-hmm.
And he was also assigned to work at the Sanatana Samskriti Museum that we have next to the administrative block.
Mm-hmm.
And he came from a family that was deeply committed to Bhagwan. And he never had any serious interest or inclination in any other god.
Mm.
No other spiritual master or any enlightened being, because right from his childhood, you know, they were just having Bhagwan as the center of their life. So one morning, a colleague asked him, have you read Autobiography of a Yogi?
Mm.
You know, this famous book by Sri Paramahansa Yogananda-ji. So he said, no, I have not read that book. And so this other brother said, no, you should read this book. It is fantastic. And saying this, the colleague, he placed a copy of that book in his hands. So now this brother, he just browsed through it casually, read a few chapters, and he glanced over the others, he saw the pictures and all that. Suddenly one image caught his attention. It was the picture of Sri Paramahansa Yogananda, seen with flowing hair, with a gentle glow on his face. And for a moment, he thought, in this picture, this Paramahansa Yogananda looks a bit like Swami.
Hmm.
And then that thought came, is this saint really an enlightened being? Anyway, he just had that doubt and had that thought, and he just left it there. He left the book, and you know, along with that his thought also was left there, and he got busy with his work. Early in the afternoon, he would always be at Bhagwan's residence. So his duties in Swami's residence ended around 7:30 p.m. every day. So that day, as he walked back to his place of work in the silence of the night, that thought that had occurred in the morning again surfaced.
Mm.
Do these enlightened souls, enlightened beings exist in today's times? So he prayed to Swami.
Mm.
Swami, I don't know if such beings are there in these times. If they are true, please give me a sign today and clear my doubts.
Mm.
Mentally, he just told Swami as he was going back to Sanatana Samskriti Museum. So he reached his office and got back to his work. In those days he was given a new responsibility, and you know, he was working very hard to make it a success, and he had very limited time because he was serving Swami also and doing the work. So he would sweat it out through the night with intermittent short naps. That's how he used to manage his time and work.
Mm-hmm.
And when he got tired that night, he just wanted a break. He had a strange idea. He thought, how about going to the terrace and relaxing in that cool breeze and gentle moonlight there? He just wanted to breathe some fresh air.
Mm.
He's been working for hours. So he chose a spot on the terrace and he was facing northeast. Because, you know, from childhood, he had heard that Kailash is in the northeast direction, and so that is where Shiva is, and you know. So he faced in that direction. He sat in the terrace. He was resting on a wall and he just kept looking at the dark horizon, you know, thinking about everything that had happened during the day. Nobody was there. A few minutes passed and all of a sudden, there was a bright, piercing light, a light like laser. And this laser beam was like darting towards him. And that lustrous ray arrived with such lightning velocity that it really terrified him. It terrified the life out of him.
Mm-hmm.
It came, this laser, and it was almost like it was about to hit him and just missed by a whisker.
Mm-hmm.
And it hit that wall behind.
Mm-hmm.
And he really quivered in shock.
Mm-hmm.
And nowhere you have this ray coming and hitting you. And he thought, is it a ghost or, you know, should I run away? What is happening? You know, some cosmic ray, something has come and hit. And he thought, if it's a ghost, then if I go, then it'll chase me. So, he just was sitting there, trying to understand what he should do. The next moment, once again something bizarre happened actually. Beside him on the floor, he saw a jelly. This jelly just appeared. It was a transparent and fluffy, the size of two tennis balls. And inside this jelly, there were like shining and glowing stars. And it looked so very strange. Never he had seen anything like this. Again, he was so stunned to even think, react, what he should do. Just trying to collect his breath and, you know, trying to make sense of what is happening. And even as he was looking at that jelly disappeared. As abruptly as it had come, it just went off. And he just fell back onto the wall, you know, just trying to gather what is happening. What is happening to me? What is all this? Is someone trying to harm me? Who is coming at me? You know, all those thoughts. Scared, confused, stunned. What he's supposed to make out of all this? He had no clue. He sat there for some more time. Nothing else happened. And then he looked at the watch. It was 3:30 a.m. And he said, okay, one more hour and I have to go back to Swami. So, I'll just, maybe just stay on here. Because no mood to work, you know, so much has happened that. He just sat there. 4:30 he came down, got ready and went to Bhagwan's residence. Or his duties. That morning, when Bhagwan emerged from his room, he should always be there in the front in case Swami has anything to get done. The moment Bhagwan opened the door and his eyes fell on this boy, Swami looked at him very keenly and said, do you need more proof? Do you want more proof? This boy was so stupefied, virtually electrified when Swami said that. Because, you know, coming from all that experience, he was like, he stood transfixed to that spot. And this boy said, you know, that one experience was so powerful and it gave me so much spiritual strength and conviction that after that he had a lot of challenges, monumental challenges actually. Lot of things were said about him. He eventually lost that opportunity also to serve Bhagwan. Just like it happens in the face of every devotee, every student. But he said, it was that experience which gave me all the spiritual strength needed to steer myself through those difficult times. And he said, I learned that if a doubt is sincere,
correct,
and genuine, it was a genuine doubt,
yes,
it was a sincere doubt, then the Divine Master, Bhagwan, will go to any extent to clear the confusion.
A young, impressionable mind.
Yes.
All his doubts have to be attended to, and no better than Lord Himself under whose care our evolution is starting actually.
Absolutely.
So actually the other thing is, he had a genuine doubt. Also, he needed purity to receive this kind of a revelation.
True. Absolutely.
If see that the tennis ball gel-like to some substance you said.
Yes.
It was like a lightning arrester that absorbed that light and then probably passed on to him the whatever the opening he required at the heart center or wherever and his mind. So I felt like that we ask for experiences, but we don't have the purity to receive.
So true.
Even when you ask Swami, give me one tenet or one maxim, something I will practice, one word you give me. It's very easy.
He's happy to give.
You want it to be very simple. You don't want it to be complex. Like Swami had given 46 verses on that puppet door.
Yes, yes.
And it's 28 verses. Here he has given 46 tenets I have seen. During 60th birthday, Swami had given just 10 commandments like. And out of all this, finally he says, follow one.
Yes.
You don't need to do anything. If you follow one, the others follow you. That's the beauty of this sadhana,
yes,
actually.
Yes.
So purity is a very, very essential precondition to receive this learning from Bhagawan directly.
Absolutely. I think that is very, very pertinent. Absolutely very meaningful and something to really think about, because many times when we say that we are not getting what we are waiting for, it is because Swami is waiting to give that to us, because something is still wanting in us. Once we are ready, that experience will come.
Once I think I narrated this with Mr. Raja Reddy Garu. He used to sleep along with Swami. Swami will be on the cot and he will be on the floor. One night he woke up and saw Swami not on the cot. Then he saw the room was actually locked from inside. And out of curiosity, he opened that latch and went out to see where Swami is. He saw bright light. And then Swami, hey, go back to sleep. And then he said, good day, Potao. You will go blind. See, that light again, I come back to the same point. Purity is the most essential thing. Purity without all these doubts. All your doubts again come because of your past karmas and sins.
Yes.
They veil the truth from you.
True.
So that's again an essential requirement is the purity here.
Absolutely.
And then he said, okay, now let me tell you that Parvati tells Shiva to give one out of this thousand names. Give me one so that I can repeat it and a devotee can. Even the 108 Ashtotra Namas on Swami, in the very beginning prologue also they say that why the 108 names? Because we don't have that concentration ability to invoke each for 108 names properly. So even if one time if you are attentive and concentrated, it will do its blessing for you. One Astotra Namam, one out of the 108.
At least you will connect with at least one name.
Yes.
Somebody will connect with Om Shri Sai Sulabha Prasannaya Namaha.
Yes.
Somebody will
and
connect
he means
with
it full, with all his heart and feelings.
Yes.
That is enough to receive the grace.
Yes. Somebody will connect with Om Shri Sai Gita Bodhakaya Namaha.
Gita Bodhakaya Namaha.
You know?
Yes.
Somebody will connect with Om Shri Sai Shankaraya Namaha.
Yes.
So I think that is again another thing that Swami is telling here, that the essence of all the names is same. However, it is not so for the subjects I am talking about.
Yes.
Even if the result is same, the practices and the paths are different.
Yes.
Swami says.
And he says, put them into practice and derive joy therefrom. Wear these as jewels and beautify yourself.
Absolutely.
So if you practice, these are like jewels for you, not the other ornaments that we give importance to.
Absolutely. And so the point that you were referring to, how there are different ways that every person can connect with Swami. So here also Swami is saying that you may choose any path. Because the practices and paths are so many. I think that is the beauty in Satyasaya organization. If you want to do bhajans, do bhajans. If you want to do seva, you do seva. If you want to study circle, you do study circle. You want to do balvikas, you do balvikas. Take any path. The goal is the same. So here also Swami is telling that even if the result is same, the practices and paths are different. And still, as you mentioned, Swami is telling, I'm giving you some selected jewels which are very essential. Treasure them, experience them, put them into practice and derive joy therefrom. I think that is so beautiful. And decorate yourself with this jewel. And then Bhakta is so delighted. He says, Swami, this is exactly what I wanted. And Swami says, okay, I will tell you. And the first is love. No surprise. The first vahini that Swami wrote is love. The first tenet that Swami is giving when he says, Swami, tell me what I should do in my life. First word that comes out of Swami's mouth is love.
The first and the last also will be always
love.
Swami himself said that, Swami himself, the next tenet he talks about is truth. Truth and love.
Truth and love.
Truth is God. God is, love is God.
Yes.
So these are all actually go very close to each other, but they're quite deep when you study deeply about the inner meaning of all that. But Swami's name is Satya himself.
Yes.
Satya Narayana Raju. Then Swami also said, and his main essence of all his teachings is love. And he said, if there is one name by which you want to call me Prema.
Prema. Yes.
Love. So he just, you know, just want to, doesn't want to go anything beyond. The highest was love for Swami. And that is the truth.
Absolutely.
See, Swami says, I separated myself from myself so that I may love myself. So the core of this creation is itself love.
Yes.
There can't be anything else. All the opposites that we experience is only to know the value of this core truth.
Yes.
That is love.
Absolutely. Wow.
So, what I was thinking was, Swami is love as well as truth. Both are embodied in that. So whatever we are, whatever Swami is teaching in the, about love and truth, he embodies that and just seeing his name, saying his name, seeing his form, this practice becomes very, very easy for us. Instead of going into the, what you call the words as they are, they don't mean anything. But if you see Swami and listen to his glory and read whatever his teachings are, then you understand that the essence of all his teachings is truth and love.
And Swami is saying, love should be considered as the very breath of life. Basically, love is life.
Yes.
That is what is the first tenet you should know. In fact, I was just reading a little story. So this is the story of a little girl. So the mother is trying to feed the girl salad. And many times children do not like salad. And so the mother tells the father, stop reading the newspaper, go and try to feed your daughter something which will be very healthy for her. So the father goes to the daughter and looks at this girl, Sindhu. And father is holding that bowl of salad and tells Sindhu, why don't you have a little of it? And Sindhu is still not willing and says, for your dad's sake, for your father's sake, will you eat this? And the girl says, okay, I will eat, but I will just eat a few. Not the whole of it, but if I eat this, will you do something for me? Will you do something which I ask? So the father says, okay, no problem. So father places his hand on her palm and says, I promise you, but don't ask for something very expensive. I can't buy you an expensive gadget now. I don't have that much money now, but otherwise anything else you tell me I will do. No problem. So the girl silently ate the whole of the salad. And then the father said, okay, tell me, what do you want? And then the girl said, Father, I want to have my head shaved off. And I want to do it this Sunday. Father said, why? And the mother shouted, Atrocious, you are a girl. Hair is so vital and beautiful for a girl. Why you want to remove your hair? Nobody has ever done that in our family. And then someone else in the house said, you're watching too much of television. You're getting carried away with all these funky lifestyles and, you know, all these weird ideas about how to groom yourself. And father said, you know, think of something else. You know, ask for anything else. We will be very sad to see you like this with a clean shaven head. You look so beautiful with your hair. Understand. But then the girl says, but father, you promised me. You said that if I eat, then you will fulfill whatever I ask. Then the father said, yes, that is true. And the girl said, you only told me the story of Harishchandra, that we should never ever go back on our promise, go back on our word. And the father says, very right. If I go back, then what will you tomorrow do when you give a word to someone? So he said, okay, we'll keep the promise. And the mother was very unhappy and the grandmother was very unhappy. And so the girl went and she had removed all her hair. She was clean shaven. She had a round face and still she looked beautiful with her beautiful big eyes. So Monday morning, the father went and dropped her at the school. And it was very different to watch Sindhu like that, hairless, going towards the classroom. But she was happy and she just turned around, waved. And she waved back with a very big, beautiful smile. Yes. And just then, another boy alighted from the car. Another car. And she and that boy shouted, Sindhuja, wait for me, little boy. And what struck the father was this boy also was hairless. And the father thought, maybe this is the fad now. Maybe this is the fashion trend now. Okay. But a few minutes later, from that other car, a lady came out and came up to this father and said, your daughter, Sindhuja, is really such a golden soul. Said, why, what happened? He said, no, because my boy, who is going now with your daughter, he is suffering from leukemia. And because of that, we had to make him go through chemotherapy and he lost all his hair. And he was refusing to come to school, fearing the teasing that happens in the school. But your daughter came last week and he promised him that she will take care of the teasing issue. And look at what she has done today. Just to make my little son feel comfortable.
Love in action.
Love in action. And that's why they say that the happiest people on this planet are not those who live on their own terms, but those who change their terms for the ones they love. And whom we should love? We should love all. Even though it was a little story, I thought, you know, I think these are those moments when Swami is telling love is life. every act that we do.
Swami used to ask us, what
can
is
we
devotion?
Ask, is it really laden with love? Yes.
Swami used to ask, what is devotion? How do you define devotion?
Yes.
We said, love for God is devotion. And he said, absolutely right. So love for God,
yes.
If you want to experience true love,
yes.
If you want to, you know, really develop love in you,
yes.
Understand what this love Swami talks about.
Yes.
Have love for Swami first.
Yes. In fact, that is what is coming in the
yes.
tenet. Swami starts here, the first tenet that Swami gives here. First he says, love is life.
Yes.
So I thought first...
Love is breath.
Love, yeah. Considered as the very breath of life.
Yeah.
If you have to condense what Swami said in one sentence in three words, I thought love is life. Because Swami is telling love should be considered as the very breath of life.
Mm-hmm.
After that, Swami says, believe that the love which manifests in all beings equally, assuming different forms, is indeed Paramatma.
Paramatma, yes.
That love that is there in every person, assuming different forms of love, that is God. Basically, I thought, if you want to tell this in three words, love is God.
Yes. See, if you just use the word Atma, Paramatma,
yes.
It may not make much understanding, doesn't help understanding much for a novice in spiritual path or anybody who wants to know about God. But if you give this kind of an example of what is love, then you understand
because love,
what is love is actually God himself.
Correct. Absolutely.
That is how you understand the term and you're comfortable with the term God.
Yes.
It means so much for you.
Yes.
It's not, otherwise, people are very averse to these terms called, you know, by God
yeah.
and all these things. Now, people are more comfortable if you use these terms like divine and consciousness.
Yes.
Because these are all actually, I would call that as a dynamic expression of consciousness.
Yes.
Love. See, without living beings, there is no meaning to life. Love.
Yeah.
So, dynamic expression of consciousness is love.
Yes, absolutely.
And this love is nothing but the Paramatma himself.
Exactly. So, that's what Swami says. First, Swami says, love is life, if I have to put it in three words.
Yes.
Second, if I have to put that again in three words, love is God.
Love is God.
Because Swami is saying, believe that the love which manifests in all beings equally, assuming different forms, is indeed Paramatma.
Yes.
And if you go to the third statement, Swami says, have the conviction that the one Paramatma is in everyone as the embodiment of love. Which means God is love.
Yes.
So, love is life. Love is God.
Yes.
God is love. So, these are the three things.
Simple mathematics, Swami calls it.
Yeah. Things that Bhagavan starts off saying, what I expect from you. When the Bhakta asks, when Bhakta himself is Bhagavan, and the Bhakta is saying that, tell me something which should be my benchmark, which should be my guidepost to earn the grace of the divine. What is the feeling that I should all the time entertain as I live my life? What is it that I should dwell upon? What is the acts that I should do which will so that I can get the grace of the divine? How can I attain your proximity? For all of this, Swami starts with these three.
And love. I will start with the best example of Sai Gita.
Oh yeah. Absolutely.
Really, I have seen Sai Gita as I have come to Swami all
yes.
through my life. I was contemporary of Sai Gita,
yes.
proudly call it.
Absolutely.
And no real better example.
Absolutely.
Also.
Absolutely.
And to quote Swami himself, he used to, as you said, no, that Swami sometimes gets upset with the students. And sometimes he will take out his, I don't want to use certain wrong words which he use. His anger, say. He doesn't have anger, but he's little, he's upset that the boys are not
responding.
Yes, pretending, pretension of anger.
Yes.
And he will say, when we used to ask, seek forgiveness from Swami, and the first break of the ice is now when he takes out his anger on you. That's actually a good sign. Otherwise, if he is not doing that and ignoring and going
yes.
off, still it is a little distance away from
correct.
You know, healing. But the moment he shows his little upset and
yes.
passes some comment,
yes.
he says, "Akkada poi, సాయి గీత పేడ తినండి, కొంచెం భక్తి భక్తి వస్తుంది. ఈట్ ద డంగ్ ఆఫ్ దట్ సాయి గీత ఎలిఫెంట్, యూ మే గెట్ సమ్ డివోషన్. లార్డ్ హిమ్సెల్ఫ్, సీ వాట్ గుడ్ పుణ్యా షీ మస్ట్ హవ్ డన్. దట్స్ వాట్ ఐ ఫీల్, దట్ షీ గాట్ లైక్ వాట్ వి హ్యూమన్ బీయింగ్స్ గెట్ ఫ్రమ్ స్వామి. Whatever, see, one, the other day somebody forwarded me one beautiful WhatsApp picture of Sai Gita taking Namaskar. And Swami just lifted his robe and it is, you know, taking the, touching the Swami's feet. And that's how Swami gives the Pada Namaskar to all of us, actually.
Yes, yes.
When he says, come on, do, take, just go.
Yes.
He will lift the robe a little so that we can see his beautiful feet and then bow our head on him. And then this Sai Gita, her way of this thing is putting that saliva on his seat. And Swami's robe will be actually smeared with her saliva.
Yes, yes.
And not a little bit of irritation or showing
hesitation, it. Nothing.
Oh,
Swami would be one with her.
Such a Sai Gita, whom he has carried in his jeep.
Yes.
In the early days when she was that small.
Yes, yes.
And then like Jatayu, he had done her last rites.
Right.
He was witnessing the last rites of Sai Gita.
Absolutely.
This is actually the reward for devotion. Swami, as the other day I was hearing Mr. Krishna Kumar's talk. Swami said it seems, if you evince even a little interest towards spirituality, I assure you I will stand by you and crown your efforts with success.
Wow.
And this is how
that is so true. Anybody who walks on the path will experience this. If you are genuine.
Yes.
Yes. Absolutely.
Sai Gita, I can go on and on.
I know.
So much.
There's so many stories.
This is the best example to start
Absolutely.
With for as far as example for our devotion towards God.
And I think there are so many more and you know, it's unending when you talk about love and God. It is as deep and profound a ocean as the word God. I think love is that deep. But but it's very interesting.
We would not have understood what is,
love. Oh, I think that's powerful.
Swami.
Yes. But for Swami, you would have never understood.
This earth planet would not have understood love.
True. Absolutely.
All
I think that's,
would be thinking of little acts of generosity and compassion towards fellow beings or some animals and dogs. No.
Yeah.
Love is the very breath of your life. You are breathing love, actually.
Yes. Wow. I think that is so true, but for him you would have never understood what is love. So dear listeners, we'll continue this. I know there is so much more to share and so much more to drink in deep about what Bhagwan has written. If you have your thoughts, your ruminations on this, please feel free to share. As always, you can write to listener@radiosai.org. You can also send us your feedback by sending your comments to our WhatsApp number 9393-258-258. We offer to Bhagwan this little endeavor of soaking in the bliss of Sandhya Nivarini very humbly at his lotus feet and pray that he guides us further in these sessions so that we can understand his word and make his word a part of our daily life. Thank you so much. Sairam.